This is what the texts of the time say. Now, advice, suit to court, that they could come to court to advise the king, to serve as the king's natural advisors, or indeed whoever the feudal lord might be. And service, generally speaking, military service, but not always. People provided a wide array of different kinds of service. Now, in return for their advice and assistance, vassals were often given something of value, called a fief, in Latin a feudum, which is where the word feudalism comes from in the first place. And a vassal was also provided sometimes with moral and legal protection by a more powerful person. In this way, it's a patron-client system like many another that we have seen, for example, like the one that obtained among the Romans. It's also true that feudalism played a certain role in royal governance. We've seen all the way back to the Carolingians that royal vassals performed important government jobs. John had outrageously abused his feudal prerogatives. What does this mean? Well, concretely, if, for example, your vassal died and his son was a child, you had a right to take over those lands until the son came of age, and then you invested him with them. Well, John had a bad habit of just not investing those sons with the lands, of just keeping the lands in his own hands. If your vassal died and had only a daughter, you had the right to arrange a suitable marriage for that daughter so that there would be a vassal on those lands who could perform service. John had a habit, again, of holding those lands in his hands and thereby manipulating the system. So it was a system they all understood, but John was sort of tinkering with it a bit. So the barons, when they forced John to sign Magna Carta, wanted him, in a sense, to play by the rules, wanted all of them to have to play by the same rules, wanted the king to agree that there were rules and that he was no less bound by them than anyone else. But the objection that I have, that most historians have to talking about feudalism, is that if we think of the several centuries of medieval history, and if we think of a geographical range running from sort of Ireland to Moscow and running from Scandinavia to the south of Italy, there was never a feudal system. There was never a thing called feudalism. The word itself is invented in the 17th century. It's not a medieval word. There was never a system that all medieval people would have understood, and it was never the only way that relationships between powerful men of the ruling class were regulated, nor was it ever the only way in which governmental services were provided. It was an element of medieval life. That's true. But it was not medieval government. One cannot, therefore, generalize it the way it sometimes has been in the past. Now, 13th century England posed a couple of pretty great political and institutional questions. Fundamentally, how can political decisions be made without recourse to violence? John had been forced to sign the Magna Carta. Who gets to participate in decision-making processes? Now, it was always assumed that the king would take advice in his council, that there were persons who would come to advise him, persons he wanted to advise. Remember, we talked about the Carolingians creating the appearance of consensus? Great barons obviously wanted to control the royal council, and through it, the king. The king, of course, wanted to stack the great council, and through it, manage the country. In 1265, and then again in 1295, there were meetings in which powerful nobles, plus higher members of the clergy, plus prominent, but not necessarily aristocratic local men, and some burghers from the greater towns of England, came together to talk, parlement, in the then dominant French, and they gave their name to an institution, a place where people talked together, parliament. The English parliament existed by the end of the 13th century, to be sure, but it had been born accidentally. And as an institution, it was not yet clear what its powers would be, who would attend it, how often it would meet. But the point had been made that there was a community of the realm, communitas regni in Latin, a group of people who imagined themselves to represent the country naturally to the king. Now, this is not democratic yet, by any stretch of the imagination, but there is a notion, then, that there is a natural group of people who advise the king. Now, if we'd looked a little bit more closely at the household of the English kings, we would have detected the extension of personal domestic responsibilities to the kingdom as a whole. How do you get a government? Well, this is also true of France. Let's just take a few examples drawn from the royal household. There was an officer who kept the king's treasure. Initially, it was a chest that was kept in his bedchamber, perhaps at the foot of his bed.